Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in a passage of Scripture in James. And this is James giving us a very powerful admonition here. He says, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks into the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do. This is a wonderful, powerful passage of Scripture, but I love how this is the Passion, I believe, puts it. You know, verse 24, you perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. In other words, when you think about being a doer of the word, and we may have heard this scripture, you know, the Bible, the word of God is like that mirror, all right? You got a natural mirror that gives you a natural reflection, but the word of God is like a spiritual mirror that gives you a spiritual reflection of who you are on the inside. And we think about this passage of scripture, you got to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, you know? It's great to hear the word, but it's the doer of the word that's blessed, okay? And so many times we think of this, and we apply this, rightly so, in different areas of behavior and how we live. You know, I think of the scripture, Titus, the grace of God that has appeared to all men, teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously and soberly in this present age. Okay, we understand that. That's kind of concrete, how I should live. I don't want to just be a hearer of that word. I want to be a doer of that word. But being a doer of the word isn't just about behavioral things that you're going to do, specific admonitions. It's that, but there's more to it than that. Being a doer of the word is seeing your reflection in that mirror, not forgetting your divine origin, but being a doer of that. Here's just one example of that. We see in 2 Corinthians, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, a natural reflection. How differently we know him now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can't look in a natural mirror and see that I'm a new creation. I'm just going to see a natural reflection. But I look into this mirror of the word, and I see something staring back at me, and it's a new creation in Christ Jesus. So there's something about this. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what's reflecting back. And what we don't want to do is just perceive in the mirror, but then go out and forget my divine origin. A big part of being a doer of the word is letting that identity of who you are in Christ be in you and stay in you. All right? I'm putting it like this. And the title of my message today is simply Accepting Who You Are. Accepting Who You Are in Christ. All right? It's good to hear who you are in Christ. And I think, you know what? I think, you know, in recent years, the body of Christ has really made some good strides in this. We learn about who we are in Christ. And we need to know who we are in Christ. But it's not good enough to just know who you are in Christ. You have to accept who you are in Christ. Do you know, it wasn't good enough to just know about Jesus or to hear about what Jesus did on the cross. We need to know that. We need to know what he did. We need to have the gospel preached. But the gospel doesn't change your life until you step up to the plate and accept what God did for you in Christ. That's what causes you to get born again. And it's not good enough to just know who you are in Christ. You have to also accept who you are in Christ for it to change your life. It's not just having, okay, according to my calculations, the Bible says I look like that. What's that little kitty going to do? Because inside that kitty is a lion. But as that kitty, 25, gaze deeply into that perfect law of liberty and fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear, they're strengthened by it. In other words, something's going to happen to that kitty. You know, there's two mirrors that kitty could look at. In the natural mirror, this kitty's looking at a spiritual mirror, of course. But this kitty's gazing into that mirror. Something's happening to that kitty. And what I want to talk about this morning is I'm not going to talk about who you are in Christ this morning. I'm kind of assuming you know who you are in Christ, all right? I mean, hey, we haven't all arrived. We can all grow in this, and I'm still learning and growing in who I am in Christ, okay? But I'm just kind of assuming on a general level, you kind of know I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm a child of God. I have the gift of righteousness. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. These are just all in Christ truths, realities that we hear from time to time in different messages, all right? This message is not about knowing who you are in Christ. This is a message about accepting who you are in Christ. It's not good enough to just know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. At some point, I got to step up to the plate and say, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I take him as my Lord and Savior. I believe. That's when change begins to happen. You have to do the exact same thing with knowing who you are in Christ. There's an accepting. This is true. This is true about me. That really is who I am on the inside. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, accepting who you are in Christ. And just a kind of a note of reference, if you want to continue to learn and grow who you are in Christ, and our own Susan Brozek has a great reference. I don't know if we've got any back there right now this morning. They might be gone. We got one left. All right. One left back there, but she has a great reference of how many, I don't know if you know off the top of your head about how many.
About 200.
200. Okay. This is why we haven't arrived yet. But 200 references in our New Testament, that mirror has 200 references looking back at you about who you are in Christ, okay? It's amazing. And we need to know who we are in Christ. And we've had some different messages along those lines, new creation, thinking, accepting the new you, all that. That's great. We need to know that. But sometimes we stop there. And I'll tell you what, I've been challenged by the Spirit of God to not just know who I am in Christ and think I've checked a box. No. We have to accept and be intentional. Just as sure as I have to be intentional about receiving Jesus, I got to be intentional about accepting Christ. How do I do that? Accepting your identity is declaring who you are. How did I get saved? What happened? What was the supernatural action that happened that really caused me to get saved? Was it just hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel? No, the Bible says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, not the mind, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's something about declaring that. That's saying, I accept this to be true. I am declaring it. Jesus Christ is Lord. There's an acceptance of that gospel. There's an acceptance of the truth. What happens when you make that one simple declaration? All that cool in Christ stuff, 200 references, happens. There's nothing I did, but when I declared, I believe Jesus Christ, you are Lord. God raised you from the dead, and I receive you as my Lord. I accept you. is my Lord. I'm not just a hearer of the gospel, but I'm an acceptor of the gospel. And that simple act of accepting, believing in my heart, and declaring with my mouth caused me to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. It caused me to be born again. It put that new creation on the inside of me. I instantly became a temple of the Holy Spirit. I instantly received the righteousness, that gift of righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. All these things happened. As many as received him, to them he became the right to become the children of God. I became a child of God. It's amazing that 200 scripture stuff happened and all I did was declare it. You're saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. We understand that about our salvation. I'm not striving for salvation. I know better. I know it's by faith. And what did I do? What did I do to get saved? I simply accepted what I heard as the truth. And that same truth, that same acceptance continues on as a believer. We don't just receive Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, when I receive Jesus Christ as Lord, that's what saves me. You know, I could go my whole life knowing who I am in Christ without really accepting who I am in Christ, and I'm still saved because I accepted Jesus as my Lord. But when I accept who I am in Christ, that's when I'm going to begin to get traction. That's when things are going to begin to change. I'm not just resting in the fact that I know who I am in Christ. I'm stepping up to the plate, and I'm beginning to accept some things. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, "For since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." Not just believe and speak. We know that you're saved by believing. You know, you believe and then you speak. You believe unto righteousness. Confession is made unto salvation. There's something powerful about this. And I'm just believing God in the name of Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, just show and reveal this morning the way you have been revealing it and showing it to me. All the confession messages we may have heard through the years, all those different things, I pray there will be fresh eyes this morning, that we see something, that we see how our mouth hooks up our spirit with your spirit in our mind, Father God. I pray revelation over this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, as we look at this and we see that I believe, therefore I spoke, all right, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Praise God. The way you look in the natural mirror and the way you look in the spiritual mirror is different. One, your natural man's getting older, but your spirit man isn't getting any older. Renewed day by day, has a strong gleam in its eye, full of vigor and strength to do the will of God in the earth. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look, we don't gaze at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. There's a believing and there's a speaking on things that you can't see. Yes, our salvation. I didn't see Jesus die on the cross for my sins. I take that by faith, and that faith declaration saved me spiritually. But there are other things that I believe and I speak. Even now in the midst of everything that's going on in this world, I'm not looking at the natural. I'm looking at things that can't be seen. You can't see the new creation with your eyes. You can't see the Holy Spirit in you with your eyes. You believe and you begin to declare. You begin to speak who you are in Christ Jesus. This is the way we live. We begin to see that inward man. What are we talking about? Accepting who you are in Christ Jesus. This is not about just believing. This is about believing and speaking. There's a powerful thing about speaking that causes spiritual things to happen. It's God's design. This is the way he wants it to happen, and he's designed for it to happen. Colossians puts it this way. Don't lie to one another, since you've stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices and have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of him who created it. Jody was kind of alluding to this in worship too. There's that change, there's that molding. But there's process here, isn't there? In other words, all this stuff happened, but what's going to happen? I'm going to clothe myself with that new spiritual self. Now, if you look at the first part of Colossians 1 through 8, you know, he starts off by saying, setting your mind on things above. Then he goes through that laundry list of the old unregenerate self stuff. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, hatred, and kind of wraps up with lying. But he's, how do you get free from all that stuff? You're putting on that new man. You're clothing yourself with that new man. You're looking at things not seen. All that flesh stuff is stuff that can be seen, but you're looking at stuff that's not seen. You're clothing yourself. That's where you're saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. In the face of the flesh stuff, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. Because it's true. What am I got to accept it. This is either true or it isn't true. Is it here to just kind of emotionally inspire me to feel better about myself? No. It's there to spiritually strengthen me to do business and to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. There is an overcoming power in declaring, not just believing, but speaking who you are in Christ Jesus. What am I doing? That's the evidence of my acceptance of it. In the same way, I declare you Jesus is Lord. I've accepted Christ. I am a new creation. I'm in the middle of fear. I'm in the middle of issues, and maybe I'm in the middle of temptation, in the middle of stuff that I'm going on, and I'm declaring, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. What am I doing? I'm doing exactly what Colossians says. I'm clothing myself with that inward man. I'm clothing myself. What am I doing? I'm accepting who I am in Christ Jesus. But you also see that there's process there. He said, clothe yourself. You're ever in the process of being renewed. This is not just a bolt. This is a process thing where I'm declaring who I am in Christ. And a lot of times what God is doing, what he's building in us, is that identity of who we are in Christ. Again, I can know all 200 scriptures, but at some point I got to look in the mirror and say, yes, that's who I am. I declare, just as I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord, I confess I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I confess I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I declare I am a child of God. I declare that God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I declare that nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. This isn't just about who you are in Christ. It's accepting who you are in Christ. You know, I've heard that. I mean, I've kind of felt the Spirit of God say that to me once before too. Just kind of, Ed, I love you. Get over it. You know what I mean? And you have to get over it. He loves you. You could accept it when you received him to get saved. You have to keep accepting that. It's still true. God didn't just love you while you were lost. He loves you as his child. What did Jesus say? How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things, you know, to those who ask? He loves you as his child. He loves you. He's for you. It's believing that, and it's declaring that. I love a parable that Jesus told. He said, here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But at night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went out and said, sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where do they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied, you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and put the wheat in the barn. Okay? Now, he's talking about an immediate context, you know, that we are living together as believers and unbelievers. Now, there's a really powerful message to this day and age that we're living in right now. You know, yeah, it can feel like we got a lot of weeds. Sometimes you can almost feel a little outnumbered by the weeds. And what guys, he's saying, let them grow. You know what happens when believers and unbelievers grow together? The believer is stronger. The believer is healthier. You can uproot things. And the believer stands fixed, strong, you know. And he's saying, let them grow together. That's a pretty powerful statement. That's a pretty secure statement. You take up the roots of a believer. You take the roots of the wheat. It's more strong than the roots of the tares. And God, he just spoke this into my heart a lot of times. There are things in my life, there are weeds I'm trying to pull up. And it's like, Ed, you can't pull them up yet. You need to get stronger in who you are. You need to accept who you are. You need to rise up who you are. You need to let the roots of your identity in Christ go deep in who you are. Because I've tried to pull up these weeds with the natural man. And these weeds don't come up with the natural man. There are weeds you're going to pull up because you know who you are in Christ. Not just because you know, but you've accepted who you are in Christ. I believe this about me, and I believe this about my stuff. There's something powerful as you begin to accept. You begin to see something. You begin to see something happen. You begin to declare, you know, in the middle of fear, you know, you can have, it's like, oh, you feel something, or you feel a pull, or something, and you're saying, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away, all has become new. And it can feel like, is this really doing anything? Yes, my roots are going down. I'm establishing my identity in Christ. I'm getting stronger in who I am in Christ. There is something that's happening underneath the ground as I'm beginning to declare who I am. I'll tell you what, there's something about, too, as you get strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, you know, you just, the things, you know, it's like, have you ever noticed that about yourself? You're one way when you're in the Spirit and you're another way when you're in the flesh. It's like two different yous. And what is this doing? It gets you in the Spirit. When you begin to declare who you are, the weeds look different when you're in the Spirit than when you're in the flesh. And so God is calling us to grow, to accept, to declare. It's not cool. Oh, yeah, we believe in all the in Christ stuff. Well, it's the doer of the word that's blessed. How can you do who you are in Christ? By accepting who you are in Christ, declaring who you are in Christ, letting that word dwell in you richly, that you're a new creation, that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Letting that word dwell in you richly, it's going to give you a strength then. Because as you get strong, it's not that the weeds stay there forever. Those weeds ultimately get pulled. But when you get strong in Christ, then you know and you're alerted by the Spirit of God, okay, confront that weed. But you're confronting it from a place of strength. But the cool thing is, okay, I got weeds, but God is saying, don't focus on your weeds right now. Gaze into that mirror. Gaze in it. Don't forget your divine origin. Blessed is the man who gazes and keeps gazing and doesn't forget his divine origin. As you gaze, you begin to behold him. As you behold him, you're changed. Your roots grow deeper. Something about you changes and gets strong. And so this is how we beat the weeds, by getting strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, accepting that identity. This is true. I believe it, Lord. You know, the whole earth is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, before we can be revealed to the world, we got to be revealed to ourselves. We got to look into that mirror and believe it. We got to accept it so that we can walk in it. And so this is what we see, the way God calls us to think. He's calling us to look into that mirror. He's calling us to not forget. Again, don't just think of that scripture of, you know, some behavioral do's and don'ts. Think of that scripture in terms of identity. It's reflecting an image. It's reflecting who you are. Choose to believe that. There is power when you begin to declare that. We believe, and therefore we've spoken. Here's kind of a closing thought in terms of that. The Apostle Paul talking to the Romans, he says, for by his sacrifice, he died to sin's power once and for all. But now he lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now dead, since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Sin is a dethroned monarch, so you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then, refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. You live now for his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purpose. A lot of times, you know, we can talk about identity. It hits every area. You know, whether you're talking about fear, whether you're talking about sin, whether you're talking about authority over the devil, that it's going to come back to identity. You know, that word early this year, it's like we're coming through the storm, but the only way out is up. It's knowing who you are. It's being seated in the heavenly places that are in Christ Jesus. And this is what does it. When you begin to declare who you are, you begin to take your place. You take that on, that identity. as you begin to declare this. And when it comes to sin, you know, it's like, okay, maybe one of those weeds is sin. Maybe it's, the Bible talks about the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. Maybe it's generational. Maybe it's just, you know, something you're dealing with. But what does the scripture say? It says, since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves. Look into that mirror as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal. The new creation is not tempted by sin. Do you know that? Who you are in Christ Jesus, there is nothing the flesh, the world, and the devil has that entices the new creation at all. You know, when John says, you know, he that is born again sins not, for his seed remains him, and he cannot sin. Well, I know that I'm humanly capable of sinning, but that seed isn't. And when I'm hooked up to him, I don't have that desire to sin. I can't. Not when I'm walking in the Spirit. There's no desire for it. You understand that? The desire comes from the outside. It comes from your flesh. Remember having that experience once where I'm kind of walking around feeling beat up and condemned and thinking, yeah, that's just me. And God just showed me in a moment of time, arrested me, showed me a picture of that new creation. He said, that's not you. That's not the real you. That thing came at you from the outside. Inside, you are a new creation. I got to look in that mirror and I got to accept it. I am a new creation. Weeds and all. I'm still a new creation. I got to let those roots go down. I got to believe in the power of God to get so strong in that identity that nothing scares me anymore. That's the way the Apostle Paul was. He said, persecutions and afflictions await me. None of these things move me. He wasn't doing the hypothetical math to decide whether he should be afraid or not. He just didn't even go there. He just knew who he was. Me and Christ versus whatever. He that is in me is greater than he that's in the world, so there's no verses in the world. As long as I'm in Christ and I'm living and I'm steadfastly gazing and I'm letting my roots go down, I'm going to, from a place of accepting, I'm uprooting some things. But I'm uprooting them from a place. I'm uprooting them from a place in him. But I love that. I'm just continually viewing myself as dead to sin. That thing that just so easily, it's pulling in. What am I doing? I'm gazing. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm accepting that. There is something powerful about that. Okay, now we're going to put this in another gear. So we kind of know some of these things. We know we got to accept it. But I'm just believing this morning that something is going to happen that happened to me that has just helped me see this and helped me walk in it in a better place. And that is not just accepting it. I'm declaring it. I'm establishing it. I'm declaring it, I'm believing it, but now there's going to be an establishing of that identity as I'm living from the inside. There's a declaring who I am, but there's a living, there's a responding from the inside. In other words, you see that kitty and you see that lion. In other words, something happens and it's not the kitty that's responding, it's the lion that's responding. You get so believing who you are in Christ, you begin to respond from who you are in Christ. It's not a matter of, popular phrase, what would Jesus do? You get so identified with who you are, as you would say, what would the new creation do? That's what begins to happen. When you begin to get renewed in knowledge according to the image of him that created him, there's process. There's process in those things growing together, and you're getting stronger. And it might look like I'm losing because these weeds are around, but something's going deeper in the ground. I'm getting established in who I am. I'm getting established in my identity in Christ. And so as we look at establishing your identity in Christ, we want to take a look at some practical, again, tools that God has given us in doing that. This is the Ephesians. You know, he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But he goes on to say, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows that come at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp sword of the Spirit of the spoken word of God. That's what the sword of the Spirit is. It's the spoken word of God. Now we can kind of think, what is this speaking the Bible? And speaking the Bible, is that really, you know, is that really how we're supposed to live as Christians? Is that really a thing? I mean, you know, when I grew up in my certain denominations, we didn't really learn that or taught that. You know, it's just kind of, but I'm telling you what, you begin to read the word, you find out that the culture of the Spirit and the norms of the Spirit, you got to find in the word of God. You got to find it in the mirror. You can't be looking in a natural mirror. You got to look in the spiritual mirror. When you look in the spiritual mirror, you find out that you have a weapon of the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. Our great example of living like this is Jesus when he was tempted. When Jesus was led into the Spirit, into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil, and when he fasted 40 days and nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now here you have the Son of God, the Word become flesh, Spirit without measure. And what is he doing? He's declaring, "It is written." He is swinging the sword of the Spirit of the Word of God. Jesus' mouth is declaring that he's resisting the devil with that spoken Word of God. And so we find out, I'm accepting who I am, but I'm living from that place. I'm responding from that place. Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was, and he responded from who he was, in who he was as the Son of God. It is written. He responded from the Word. And so we see that Jesus lived like this. And this is stuff we know. I'm still getting to where I want to go. This is all set up. A lot of the stuff we know. But I'm just believing that something is going to click this morning, because there is, you know, you can hear these truths and it's like, oh yeah, it's kind of floaty cloud stuff. But when you begin to believe it and accept it, it goes from floaty cloud stuff to real life-changing reality stuff of the Holy Spirit. So here's a story that I just felt quickened by the Holy Spirit. It's the story of Naaman the leper, powerful commander of the army. He had leprosy. He was in a bad way, but he found out there was a prophet, praise God, a prophet of God, Elisha, that could help him. You know, his maid, his servant maid told him about, she was Jewish, told him about this prophet. Man, it was his only hope. So he loads up. He's ready. He's ready with his money. He's ready with his resources. He's ready to buy a healing here. So Naaman started out carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elijah's house. But Elijah sent a messenger out with him with this message: "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy." But Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he would certainly come out and meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of his Lord and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus and Abana and Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why should I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says, simply go and wash and be cured." So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Now, this story speaks to me in a lot of different ways as it relates to this topic: confession, declaring who you are in Christ. Because when you talk about who you are in Christ, you declare it, you can experience a few things, but you kind of, you know, you wonder. Here you've got Naaman. He's got a serious situation. And you could say he had a big weed. He had a lot he had to deal with here. And you see right away, he wants to come along, plop down some money, do some effort, exchange. I give you this, you give me a healing. That didn't work. Didn't work with Elijah. Elijah didn't want his money. No, when you're doing things God's way, it's not going to be because you paid for it. It's not because I got to punch out a receipt for one leprosy healing. that you paid for. There's nothing of effort. There's nothing of human effort here. Not only did it not cost him any money, he refused to let it cost him money, but when he arrived there, this is a man of honor. Elijah didn't even come out to greet him. He just sent a messenger with the instruction on how to get healed. Dip in the river 7 times. And what happens to Naaman here is kind of the other error, besides trying to pay for it. He said, I thought he would certainly come out and meet me. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy. Healing, deliverance. We might know better to not pay for it. But there's another expectancy. I wanted something dramatic. I wanted a hand wave. I wanted the lightning bolt. I wanted that spectacular. This is a big deal here, you know. I'm dying of leprosy. Certainly it's going to be something powerful and dramatic. He couldn't pay for it. He wouldn't take his money. He just gave him a simple instruction. He didn't have the drama. And you got to think about, again, Naaman here. It's like, what did he have? He had a word. Go dip in that Jordan River 7 times. And he could be thinking to himself, what is some dumb little nonsensical repetitive thing going to do to heal me from leprosy? He's running the math and he's offended. But then a very wise servant said, look, if he would have told you to take a city for your healing, oh, you'd have done that, yeah. But he had to humble himself and do something that almost looked mundane and repetitive and like, ugh, come on. Dipping in the Jordan River? Leprosy, I'm about dying? It's like, you know, putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. This makes no sense. But praise God. His servant convinced him. Look, all he's telling you to do is something simple. Naaman does it, goes down to the Jordan, dips himself 7 times as the man of God who instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child. His money couldn't do that. There's no drama that did it. No feat. Simple obedience to the word of God. Now listen, when it comes to accepting who you are in Christ and establishing who you are in Christ, I get it. There's going to be times you feel that fear, spirit of fear, pull of temptation. And when you're saying, you know, whether it's, you know, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, or whether you're saying, I reckon myself dead unto sin. On a Sunday morning, it's different. We give ourselves permission to be spiritual on a Sunday morning, okay? We give ourselves permission to go there on a Sunday morning. I'm not talking about Sunday morning now. I'm talking about it's nighttime, it's dark, you're in your car, no church, family around you. You're just by yourself. And you get that thought, and the Holy Spirit just prompts you, just say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away, all has become new. When you say that, in the face of what you're dealing with, it's going to feel like a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. What do you got to do, though? You got to say, I'm dipping. This is not a mundane, repetitive task. I'm being clothed. I'm dipping in the promises of God. I'm getting strong in the promises of God. I'm obeying the simple command to swing the sword of the Spirit. I'm obeying the simple command to be clothed with the new creation. I'm obeying the simple command to gaze into the perfect law of God, liberty, and keep gazing. That's all I'm doing. There's nothing dramatic here. I'm not doing any dramatic things. No man of God or woman of God is doing anything dramatic to me. I'm just simply obeying the word. I'm dipping. And in the face of that fear, you might say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. All has become new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And when you're doing that, what are you doing? You're letting that word dwell in you richly. It's the sword of the Spirit. The scripture talks about, you know, don't think that you're going to be heard. You know, don't get into vain repetitions, thinking that you're going to be heard from God because of your much speaking. This is not directed to God. I'm not praying to God. This is not street corner stuff so people will think I'm a great prayer warrior. When you declare that word of God, you are being a doer of the majority of the New Testament. But that simple little thing, declaring, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is what happens when you're doing that simple little thing, that simple little dip, that simple little response to the word of God. When you declare, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world, you are accepting who you are in Christ. You're declaring that what you see in that mirror of the word is true. You're being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him that created you. You're being transformed in that moment by the renewing of your mind. You're taking your thoughts into captivity to what you see in the mirror, the spiritual mirror. You're casting down those arguments. You're delighting yourself in the law of the Lord as you're declaring that by faith. You're dipping repeatedly into those promises of God. You're getting in faith because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In those dark, dingy places, worship is a powerful way we do that. This morning, Paul, midnight, back broken, pain. He begins to worship God. He knows who that's why none of these things moved him. He wasn't worried about the worst. You know, if all the what ifs happened, it doesn't change your directive to declare and to set your mind on things above. It doesn't change. It's not about whether this happens or whether that happens, that I do or I don't. I've accepted who I am in Christ. There's an acceptance of that. Not only that, but I am getting spiritually minded as I just declare that. Clash, the junk clashes with that declaration of faith. You're getting spiritually minded. You're getting strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You're getting washed by the water of the word. You're letting the word of God dwell in you richly. You're meditating in the word. You're moving mountains. You're putting into motion the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You're putting on the armor of God. You're putting on the new man. You're receiving the word with meekness, which is able to save your soul. This is just by declaring the word of God. All this stuff is you're being a doer of all these things in the word of God. You're resisting temptation. You're resisting the devil, saying it is written. You're setting your mind on things above. You're stirring up life and peace. You're stirring up power, love, and a sound mind. You're swinging the sword of the Spirit. You're automatically thinking on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Every time you just stop and declare the Word of God, it fits all that criteria. You're walking in the Spirit. This is the way we dip. This is the way we dip in the River Jordan. And when your natural man says, what good is this doing? Band-aid on gunshot wound. No. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going somewhere. I'm being changed. I'm being changed from glory to glory. I'm beholding him. When you think about Naaman getting healed, all he did was simply obey that word of God. And it changed everything. It changed. What am I saying? When I'm declaring the word of God, my roots are going down. I'm getting strong. I'm getting ready to uproot some weeds because I'm getting strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm accepting that identity. I'm accepting who I am in Christ. There's nothing I can do. All I can do is declare it and let the miracle of the Holy Spirit, the miracle of revelation, because that's ultimately what happens. You're declaring, and as you declare by faith, that seventh time you declare, you come up and you see something that you only knew theologically before. Because the Spirit of God gives you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and the eyes of your understanding are now enlightened, and you know that power that works toward you as a believer. You see something. But what are you doing? You're declaring it. This is something that you're doing again. This is something you're doing in the privacy of your own life. You're looking into that perfect law, you're gazing into it, and you're not forgetting your divine origin. Because ultimately, that's what's going to happen. Jesus said, have faith in God. Surely I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, believes those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, what whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Finally, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who's accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. When I say to a mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, you're not saying it from a place of arrogance. You're saying it from a place of revelation. You're saying it from a place because you've let your weeds, the roots of your plant go down. You're going somewhere. You got to trust that process. Trust the process. Believe and let the Spirit of God reveal who you are. What are you doing? You're letting the Word dwell in you richly, and you're doing all those things. All those admonitions of the New Testament are fulfilled in that dip, in that declaration of who you are in Christ. Again, I've heard this for years. And you get kind of different little things. Oh, well, different. Take the advice of Naaman's servant who said, look, if you'd have told you to do something great, he's not asking you to do something great, something simple. Anybody can call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. Anybody can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony when you're looking at that mirror and you're believing it and you're putting on that new man. That's how you overcome all the junk. Believing, it's identity. It's true already. It's just believing it's true. It's declaring it's true and declaring it's true in the face of the stuff that will cause you to begin to overcome. So again, this is not a message of who you are in Christ. It's a message of accepting it. How do I accept it? The same way I accepted Christ. Yeah, I can believe in my heart, but with my mouth, I make that declaration. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I'm swinging that sword of the Spirit. I'm not seeing myself as the kitty cat. I'm seeing myself as the lion. But it can't be just, think happy thoughts. It's got to be spiritual substantive stuff, you know? It's not, you really are a lion, you know? What is it? I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and doggone it, people like me. This is not positive thinking stuff. These are the promises of God. The Bible says that we've been given everything that we need. You're dipping in the promises of God. That's what you're doing. And the Bible says that through these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature. We've been obtainers of the divine nature through the new birth. But you begin to partake of that divine nature when you dip in those promises of God. Kenneth Hagin was a little boy, 17-year-old boy in a bed. He just had nothing but his grandma's Bible. And he just went in those scriptures and read and just... If you the different scriptures and healing, that by his stripes you were healed and begin to declare and begin to believe. And I'll tell you what, when you're there and you let that word of Christ dwell in you richly and you accept your identity and you believe in it and you hold that truth of healing close to your heart, there was nobody that waved anything over him. He was just there in his bed with the word of God declaring until finally the Spirit of God spoke back to him and said, what are you doing at in bed at 10 in the morning? Well, people should be up at this time. It's like, oh. And he just took that step of faith. And since the power of God just hit him, healed him. You know, when that happens, you don't care how people personify confessional. That's all. You don't care. You did it. You did that simple admonition. You dipped and you dipped and you dipped until it became real in you. And you know it's true. And you begin to take who you are in Christ and nothing the flesh, the world, and the devil can throw at you that is bigger than the image in that spiritual mirror. That is who you are. Accepting it. I'm accepting it. I believe it. I believe for it. That great song came out, C.C. Winan, I think, Believe for It. I had a great little experience. We had a prayer seminar that Julie and I went to, and it's just we were worshiping. We were singing that song in the prayer seminar, and all of a sudden I just saw a vision. You know, where all I'm doing is believing. It's like there's God in heaven. You know, it's like in one hand I had God's hand in one hand. And the other hand I had his promise. And all I'm doing is I'm believing for it. I'm not trying to perform what he promised. I'm just believing it. That's all I'm doing. When I'm looking into that mirror, I'm not doing anything. No hand waving, no money transactions, nothing of me. I'm just believing it. I just believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was raised from the dead. I just believe that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. But there's power when you believe that. And that's when change begins to happen. when you begin to accept who you are in Christ, and you begin to see who it is on the inside. And I don't go away and forget who I am, but I continually, steadfastly gaze. And there's something about staying in that place versus the flesh, the world, and the devil, the problems, the issues, versus any weed. The answer is as simple as dipping. Going into those promises. It's not a mundane, repetitive task to say, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. I could say that 50 times and it wouldn't be vain repetition. I'd be saying it 50 times and I would be letting the word of Christ dwell in me richly. I'm dipping in that same process, in that same promise over and over and over. And it's not a nervous, it's not any, it's with meekness I'm receiving that engrafted word. It's with meekness that I'm declaring. It's with meekness that I'm declaring that I am who you say I am in that image in the mirror. I'm just saying there's breakthrough here. It's private. This is not just another who you are in Christ message. This is an admonishment to go. This is an admonishment to accept it. I'm talking about the privacy of your life and your heart. Begin to declare those promises of God. I wish I could say this from a fresh paradigm. See yourself. You're dipping. You're dipping. You're going somewhere. This is not a gunshot, not a band-aid on a gunshot wound. You are going somewhere. Those promises, you're getting revelation of that word. And when you change who you see in that mirror, when that person you see in the mirror really becomes the person in your mind is transformed, and all of a sudden, not you don't just see that person in the mirror, but your mind sees that same person too. Then you're going to be responding from, you're renewed in knowledge according to that image. Then it's not just an image you're pointing to, that image is here now. And when the flesh will come, devil come at you, they're coming at a new creation. Because you're transformed in that renewing. But we got to do that. It's not good enough to know there's 200 truths there. We got to take those and say, yes, that's true. That's true. And let the word of God transform you into a new person. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the fact that your word is true. It is timeless and it speaks to where we are. Lord, you know our heart. You know our stuff. You know the things that we're going through. And I just pray right now that you would help each one of us to see that those great and precious promises, they are waters that we dip in. We can declare those over and over and over again and allow ourselves to be washed by the water of your word and let that spirit of wisdom and revelation in that word come as we're meditating in the word of God, meditating repeatedly, going over, delighting in your word, that the image we see in your word becomes imprinted on our mind. And we no longer are afraid because we are now living from that place, that new creation. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I am who you say I am. I thank you for the mirror of your word. It reflects the new creation. It reflects the Holy Spirit in me. It reflects your gift of righteousness. It reminds me that you are for me. And if you are for me, I don't have to be afraid of what man can do to me. I accept it today, Lord. Help me to continue to keep a steady gaze. When I feel fear coming, it just reminds me my roots need to go deeper. I'm not going to fix the fear. I'm going to get stronger in my identity. And when the time comes, I'll deal with that weed by the wisdom of your spirit and from a place of revelation. I won't fear that weed anymore because I believe what I see in the mirror. I am a new creation and I will live from that place. And from that place, I will serve you and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, Like I said, there's nothing really new here as far as who you are in Christ. It's an admonition. It's an exhortation to stir you up. To do what you already know to do. I'm putting this on me. I got that message to go dip in the Jordan. You know, the Lord gives you that go dip in the Jordan. Now, it's not leprosy, okay? But you got to plug in whatever your deal is, all right? Whatever that thing might be. But you got that same admonition. So simple. Come on. I want some drama. I want some just some mundane, repetitive dipping and dipping and dipping and dipping. Meditating. Letting it dwell. Fixing your gaze. Continuing steadfastly. There's process in that. There's repetition in that. But there's revelation in that. You're going somewhere, but it's so simple. It's so simple. You can take it with you wherever you go. Praise God, we can come to church. But wherever you are, you can do this. You can be in an ugly, stinking prison, bound. No beautiful music, nobody to encourage you, and you can still do this. And it moves prison bars. Boy, I'll tell you what. I'm just getting a revelation. You know, it's like, it's right there. It's just right there. Just doing what I already know to do. So I just encourage you again this morning. Accept who you are in Christ. Great to know it, but man, let it go in you. Amen. Praise God.